Welcome to another edition of Healthcare Insurance 101. Independent insurance agent with us, as always, and that would be Kathy Cacciola. Good morning to you.
Good morning, JR. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And weather's been great, but we need the rain.
We absolutely need the rain bad. I've got things I need to burn, and I can't do it.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. I got lines. We're not going there. Right now, you're always busy, but right now there's a little lull in the action, as they say.
There is. So the end of March, March 31st, ended open enrollment. Now between April 1st all the way until October 15th, you're kind of stuck unless you have a what they call a special enrollment period. Now, special enrollment can be a lot of things. It can be maybe you're dual eligible. You have both Medicaid and Medicare. Then you can change your plan. Or maybe you have a chronic illness, and those chronic illnesses are pretty narrowly defined. Like I had a lady call me yesterday and says, I was just diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. She goes, will that get me a special needs plan? And I says, no, because it's not one of the defined chronic illnesses. Those are cardiovascular disease, congestive heart failure, COPD, and diabetes. Those are the four different disease states that they will consider chronic and they'll put you on a chronic needs plan.
You're not sure, you just give Kathy a call, 727-735-2337, and she'll be able to explain that to you if you're not getting it. But you have to stick with your plan until the next enrollment deal. But like you said, special circumstances could warrant that.
Special circumstances can warrant that. And another would be, say, you moved out of one zip code into another. We have a lot of people moving into Florida, so that presents a great opportunity for people like me to help these folks find a new plan in their new area. If they are on a supplement, then they don't need to change their plan, although some want to, because then they will have to change their drug plan. If they're on a Medicare Advantage plan, let's say from another state or another zip code, then they will have to change their plan when they moved into a different zip code, because that's the rules under Medicare. You have to change your plan.
You getting anybody still hollering, calling you, saying, Kathy, this thing's a train wreck. Do I have to wait?
Every single day.
Oh, really?
Every single day. Because a lot of folks don't realize how restrictive an HMO can be. Sometimes they're if you adapt to it. If you adapt to it and you learn what hoops you got to jump through to get to where you need to go, then it's easier on you. But if you go from, let's say, an employer plan that might be a PPO rate to an HMO, kind of a culture shock. Because now, in order for you to go see your specialist, whatever it is, pain management, dermatologist, whatever it is, you have to get a referral from your primary care doctor. And that referral has to go ahead of your appointment. So let's say, and I'm getting these calls, like I have an appointment next week with a specialist and I still haven't gotten my referral from my primary care doctor. I keep calling there and they said they've sent it over and my specialist says they haven't gotten it. And I said, well, you know, a lot of times what you have to do is you have to walk in and you have to say, hey, I'm going to wait here until you get that referral over to my specialist. Sometimes it can be that difficult to get it through because, I mean, the doctors typically are willing to do the referral, but they rely on their staff to get it absolutely done. And sometimes that gets held up somewhere. And that's where the biggest frustration comes in with an HMO, is that referral process or authorization process. Or if you have cataracts, they have to be at a certain level before they'll go ahead and prove them to be removed. That's a frustration that you would run into. Now, occasionally I'll get people lately that, you know, they're on a PPO and there are very few PPOs left, because this last year has been really, really tough on PPOs. Understand, if you have a PPO, you don't need a referral to go see a specialist. Therefore, you are cost that company more money because they can't pre-negotiate that rate with that specialist. Because you can call up that specialist that you want to go to and say, hey, this is what I have. Can I make an appointment? There are times when that specialist will require referral anyway, because that's up to the office, but you don't need a referral to go. So therefore, it's not pre-negotiated, meaning what the company is going to pay for that office call or whatever's going to happen there. So PPOs have become very expensive for these companies to work with. So they've really taken a lot of them off the market. So if you have one, this is the message I want to get out to you. If you have a PPO, hang on to it.
Like me.
Yeah, hang on to it.
Because Kathy got me into this and it says, okay, good.
Well, you're in a supplement. So now you don't have to worry about what changes from year to year, because your plan's never going to change.
Right.
Your benefit's never going to change. Now, your rate may go up from year to year because of inflation, but overall, I mean, it's going to stay at a fairly low rate, and you're not going to have to worry about the changes that happen from year to year in Medicare Advantage, because the last 2 years have been pretty profound changes.
Boy, howdy on that deal,
they
right?
They have. And we're hearing right now that Medicare is going to increase funding to Medicare Advantage by 2.8%. Now, that's good news, is because now maybe they'll be able to bring back some of the PPOs that were taken off the market.
Well, again, this is where Kathy has to be cognizant of what's going on, because every year there is changes, and Kathy, is since being an independent, she has to learn all this from all the companies of what they have to offer. Okay, mm-hmm. So that could be wild.
It is wild. Last year was pretty wild, so we're hoping this year is going to be a little bit better, because they haven't taken away funding, they've increased funding. So that's good news for people who are on Medicare Advantage. Now understand, there's people on Medicare Advantage that have no choice. That's what they have to do. Either it's because it's an income issue, they can't afford to pay extra for a supplement, and they rely on that HMO that they're on to return money to their Social Security check. Because some of these HMOs do that. It's called a Part B rebate, and they'll send back not all, but most of your Part B premium, which currently is at $202.90,
mm-hmm.
to your Social Security check. And a lot of folks out there live on very little income,
right?
And they rely on that extra money every month, you know, to pay their own bills. I get that. There are other people who prefer the PPO route because maybe they travel, maybe they visit other states couple months of a year. A lot of people do that, and they need to go to doctors in those other states, or they have doctors that are in different counties. Like, for example, if you're in Spring Hill and you have a specialist in Tampa, the PPO is going to work better for you in that regard. So there's a lot of folks that are on PPOs. Now, last year, there was one PPO that was actually returning money to your Social Security check.
Really?
Totally unheard of.
Very much so.
But it was the most popular PPO out there. Everybody wanted it. Well, they got too many enrollment, and about mid-March, they shut it off. They took it off all platforms and said, we want no more enrollment. So I have folks who, you know, call me and says, this is what I have. And they'll explain that they have this particular PPO. And I would tell them, hang on to it, because, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're going to have it again next year or just take it off the market completely. But understand that if you do have one of those PPOs that return money, your Social Security check, that's an anomaly.
Wow.
Hang on to it.
Yeah, don't let it go.
Don't let it go.
But hopefully, as time moves on next year, like I say, maybe a little easier, maybe a little bit more to choose from for a lot of people, because some are just probably going out of their minds.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the HMO markets have gotten a little tighter as far as referrals and what they're going to allow and what they aren't going to allow as far as treatment is concerned. But, I mean, you expect that because it's a cost. HMO means health maintenance organization. So their job is to maintain your health, meaning to control, you know, whatever's going on with you. And they're for crisis things. I mean, that's difficult.
Well, again, if you've got questions, give Kathy a call, 727-735-2337. If you want to contact her via the website, kecinsuranceservices.com. KECinsuranceServices.com. Past programs, you can send Kathy an email through there. All kinds of other information. Scope it out. It's really nice. Her number is 727-735-2337. So you're going to probably start, what, in June or July? Do they start giving you ideas as to what the possibilities for plans are that you have to start getting?
So last year in July, they released AHIP. Now, AHIP is the testing that Medicare sends out for agents to complete first.
Okay.
So that's primary. I mean, that's the first thing you do is you do your AHIP. Then as soon as AHIP is released, then the companies start doing their certifications for each one of the companies. So in that process, they have to get their approval from Medicare for the plans that they're going to introduce, let's say in 2027. And they'll probably have those out about August, at least preliminary. It's not set in stone, but it's preliminary. And then we'll start to do the testing for that, because we have to do the same type of testing we do with AHIP with each of the companies. Then once we do that, then they'll start having face-to-face meetings so they can introduce their plans for 2027 to us, and then we can go through the process of learning what the benefits are. And by the time October 1st gets here, we have a pretty good idea what the landscape looks like, and we're able to help people choose something that's more appropriate for them. Now, a lot of people are going to want to change their plans this year. This is probably going to be a big change year.
Really? Wow.
Mainly because of the disruption we've had in the markets the last 2 years with benefits being taken away and all of those kind of things. And the area of dental actually has been the biggest cutback. There's been a few plans that offer it, but for the most part, they've cut back drastically.
When you have to get certified or work for these companies, do you have to go to a company you're not? Yeah, you have to go since you are an independent?
It depends on if I want to offer it. And okay. I do offer all of them. And there are a couple of plans out there that are fairly new to the area. And unfortunately, they're great plans. There's no doubt about it. But they don't have a big enough network yet. When I say network, I mean doctors that have signed on to take these plans. It's like a tightrope you got to walk, because you want to get your clients the best plan they can get. You know, really robust benefits. But you also want to be able to go to the doctors that they want to go to, or have a great selection of doctors to go to. So you have to find that a plan that's going to offer them both. And that's where the difficulty comes in, because these new companies, maybe they have the greatest plans, you know, out there.
Sure.
And their customer service is top notch, but they haven't built their networks to the point where you feel comfortable signing people up for it, because you don't want them to be limited on where they can go.
Yeah, because nothing.
Not severely limited.
Okay.
I mean, understand all HMOs limit where you can go, but you want to have a bigger, robust network.
Now, do all HMOs at least give you some kickback on your Part B?
Not all of them.
Some are. No ifs, ands, or buts. You're not getting nothing.
Right.
Okay.
In fact, two of the major companies have never offered kickback. So, and it's usually the smaller, what you call statewide companies. Companies that are not national will offer you kickbacks more likely than anything that's national. So if it's a national company, the big four, chances are you're not getting a rebate.
You're not sure, you know, what's going to be out there, especially coming up for 2027. Like say, Kathy's saying she's not going to know for a bit, which is understandable. We're only in April. And near the end of April, beginning of May coming around. I mean, this year's going by quick, so just hold on, you know.
Just hold on. I mean, it's coming. And I'm getting a lot of kind of hints that it's going to be a much better year for the plan, because they're getting more funding. Now, Medicare and Medicaid, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, are getting much more strict about their rules. And they're getting much more, they're cracking down on a lot of these fraudsters.
Thank God.
Which is really good.
Long time coming, right?
We really want that to happen, because that'll save, I mean, every taxpayer a ton of money if they could crack down on who gets paid what, and for, you know, make sure that you're doing business in a legitimate way.
True. Well, you know, because there has been a lot of issues and fraud and everything else that as the consumers they get hosed.
Yeah, they do. And They try to tell you, like in Congress, they'll say, oh, it's just marginal. It's not marginal. It's real money. It really is. And that comes out of your benefits. And the way to look at this practically is, I mean, you probably lost your dental benefits this year because of the fraud that happened out there with, you know, let's say Minnesota and California. That's a lot of money that came out of Medicare.
Wow, that's right. Okay. So they have to drop something.
They have to drop something to make up for that. So it affects the individual in profound ways, because you're going to lose, you know, it's not on the margin, honestly. You're going to lose benefits if there's that much fraud in the market.
And again, they got to clean this mess up, and everybody's got to all be on the same page. I mean, because it's
right.
It's getting crazy.
Yeah. And the telemarketers that work for, I mean, they're in these call centers, let's say in Bangladesh or wherever they are. I mean, they have no business calling our seniors.
No.
And signing them up for plans. They have no business doing that. And that has to stop.
Yeah. See, here we go again. You know, companies that can sit there and work with people United States call centers, et cetera. Let's bring it home. Mm-hmm. Bring it home.
Bring it all home. It can't happen that way.
Because
I mean, you almost know when you answer the phone and somebody talks into a real broken accent, you know exactly where this is coming from. It's the call center somewhere outside the country.
Of course, you say thank you, but no thank you, and just hang up.
Just hang up.
You know, some aren't gracious, or they'll cuss them out and hang up. I mean, you know, people need to just chill a little bit.
A lot of my clients like to have fun with them a little bit, you know. They'll say, nurse, something like that. Can I talk to this guy?
Oh, no. Yeah. Are you serious? Do they?
They like to play with them.
Well, you know what?
Sense of humor.
Yeah, sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I mean, geez. that's a good thing. Yeah. You know, but it's so funny. I don't get these kind of calls. First of all, I got the house in the cell. Mm-hmm. And if I don't recognize any number, nobody's going to answer it. Okay.
Well, that's a good way to do it. I mean, you put in your contacts that you want to call you.
Yep.
But unfortunately, that's going to force you to miss some calls you might want to get. I tried using one time one of those filters.
Yeah.
But it also filtered out my kids, so.
that might be a good thing. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But yeah, wow. Yeah, but see, I've got this thing on there now where it says you don't hear it ring. And it says, well, see if they're available. Okay, and I don't recognize the number, and it's a scam likely. If someone's got to leave messages, again, if people aren't sure, and it does happen where it's, say, unknown caller or possible spam, people need to leave a message then. Then you can return the call without having any issues.
Exactly. Now, people call me all the time, so a lot of times I'll go through and I'll return the calls that I missed, and the telephone companies are getting smart, too. They're starting to be able to filter out these scam calls, because when I return a call that's a scam call, the voice will come on there and says, this is a possible scam call. Hang up now.
That's right.
So, yep. Which is awesome. That's what we want to have.
Sure. But the problem is with a lot of these things, though, just don't give out information if you're not familiar with what is going on.
Safeguard your Medicare number, safeguard your Social Security number, your date of birth. Safeguard all of these key pieces of information, because these scammers use that in order to scam you.
Well, it's like when you go to hospitals, et cetera, depending if you're on their records and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're going to ask for your Social Security number. Dudes, you all have it in your system. Why do you need it now?
I never put a line through that one.
Oh, of course.
I mean, because if they have my Medicare number, that's all they need.
That's right. There you go. Again.
To Bill.
People just need to be cognitive of knowing what is going on, because no matter where you're at, you got people that are trying to sit there and hoodwink you blind.
Mm-hmm.
And and they're getting very ingenious with the way they do these kind of things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, certain operations, they will not call you.
No, I mean, in fact, I had someone ask me the other day about, I'm getting these emails from Social Security. I said, Social Security is not going to email you. If they send you anything at all, it's going to say, log on to your account. So if you have a My Social Security mm-hmm. account, don't take a phone call from anyone from Social Security unless you're expecting one. And there are times when you apply for something and you will expect a call, but normally they do not reach out to
right.
you. So what you should do, if you have any idea that Social Security is trying to contact you, the best thing for you to do is go to your own My Social Security account. And then whatever information they're trying to relay to you is mm-hmm. going to be on there. You could also print out your statements, anything that you need to have is going to be on your My Social Security account. So everyone has to have one.
Yep.
When you apply for Medicare for the very first time mm-hmm. or Social Security, you have to create an account. Now, and occasionally I'll run into someone who has absolutely no technology in their life. And that is sometimes very difficult, because
yes.
I will have to send in a paper app for them, and I have to have them call Social Security mm-hmm. or go down to the Social Security office. that is their only option if they don't have a My Social Security account. You can't electronically apply for Medicare or Social Security without it.
Well, a lot of people are just getting wild about this, and you just need, it's a thought process to know the common sense deal with a lot of this stuff. And so many people, you've been doing this for a long time, and you've had to help try to clean up some of these people's messes because they got blindsided or they got taken for the ride. And a lot of it is where you've, in the past, especially when it's open enrollment, annual enrollment, that these people from Bangladesh or wherever they're calling will make a change in your plan.
Yes, there are many times that I've had clients have their plan changed without their knowledge.
Jeez.
Because somebody, I said, do you remember somebody calling you, telemarketer calling you and asking about Medicare? Says, oh, yeah. The kind gentleman called me from, they had a really, you know, strong accent. And I talked to him. I says, somewhere along there, you said yes. Or you gave him your Medicare number.
Oh, geez.
And if you did, then that's what happened.
It's open
season. You may not have said, yes, I want to enroll. But they went ahead and enrolled you anyway. And that can happen. So, I mean, as far as signing up for Medicare for the first time, you're turning 65. I always tell people, and this sounds like a broken record, give yourself time.
Gosh, yes.
Give yourself at least 3 months.
At least.
Because, number one, you got to create a My Social Security account. And that's no walk in the park. You have to be, they have to be secure that somebody isn't doing that on your behalf. So you have to, it's really a process. So you fill out the application on SSA.gov for a My Social Security account. They're going to ask you to take a picture of your driver's license front and back and upload it. Now, it's really kind of clever because when you take the picture, it uploads itself from your smartphone. But you got to have a smartphone.
Right. No flip phones.
And then you flip it to the other side, front and back, and it'll upload that. Well, then they want you to take a selfie. So a picture of yourself, and it will upload that. And they use facial recognition software to make sure that the person that is applying for the My Social Security account is actually the person that you say you are.
It makes sense.
It does.
But boy, sometimes the hoops, and we've talked about this in the past as well, some of the seniors are not savvy.
Correct.
And it can be very difficult.
I have a lot of people will come in and let me help them do that. Because they don't feel comfortable doing it. If you make a mistake and you do it wrong 3 times in a row, they're locking you out.
Oh, boy.
Then you have to wait a period of time before they'll open it up again and give you another opportunity to try. So a lot of folks will come in and I'll help them go ahead and get through that process. Once we get through the process, I can help them apply for, you know, whatever they want to apply for, whether it's straight Medicare, not Social Security, because a lot of people will delay their Social Security until their full retirement age. And a lot of people will take it early. I mean, it's totally a personal preference.
That's very true. Boy, oh boy. Got it figured out yet, folks? Give Kathy a call. Check out the website as well, kecinsuranceservices.com. kecinsuranceservices.com. That's the website. Send her an email through the website. You need to make an appointment, 727-735-2337. 727-735-2337. You can meet at her office right there at the corner of Highway 19 and Forest Oaks Boulevard. Y'all can't miss it. Right down from Guido's Pizza and Nature Coast Jewelers. You need to, you can go down to her office. Whatever it takes, get together. If you're going to get your Social Security or if you're going to get the Medicare, 3 months at minimum at best. This way you can get the ball rolling and not have any issues. It makes sense, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I even have people come in a year out. They just want to get their ducks in a row. They want to know what they need to do and when they need to do it so that they can line things up and not have to stress at the last minute. Because folks come in the office and they're kind of stressed out. Like, I don't know what to do here. I mean, this wired, is all Greek to me. And if I can get them to, you know, put it in a logical progression, it eases their mind and makes the whole process easier.
You've been listening to Healthcare Insurance 101 with Kathy Cacciola. Kath, we'll do this again in two.
Absolutely. Any information we provide is limited to the plans that we do offer in your area. Please contact Medicare.gov or 1-800-MEDICARE to get information on all of your options.